Hello and welcome back to Fertility Matters with me, Jessica Hobbis. This is the show where we talk about all things related to the health space and have a range of experts from the field in. Hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome back. This week I'm thrilled to have Ian Stones join me on the episode, and today we'll be diving into male fertility, including testing, diet, lifestyle and a lot more. So Ian is an expert in this area with over 15 years experience after he realized how little support was being offered to men, which led to him establishing Test Him, an organization committed to making a positive change in this area, and I'm sure we'll delve into that later on as well. So that kind of brings me to welcoming you to the show, Ian. How are you today? And could you tell
Thank
our
you.
listeners a little bit more about yourself and your journey?
Yeah, wow, gosh. It's almost a podcast in itself. In fact, I think we have our own podcast. I think we almost had an entire episode dedicated to how did Test Him start, because it almost sounds like a joke. It's like, how do you get a biomedical scientist, an acupuncturist, and a train driver in the same room and setting up a company together? But that is the background. So yeah, my background was acupuncture. I was an acupuncturist for, I think it was nearly 16 years. And I predominantly worked with, women that were trying to conceive. So a lot of my practice was fertility based. And then a lot of my patients were women. And very rarely would I see the men coming for treatment. And actually that became a bit of a light bulb moment for me. Sort of, I don't know, maybe 14 years into my practice or something, I was like, hang on a minute, where are the blokes? Why aren't the blokes coming in? And I started doing some research, and then and actually the real kind of big moment was when I started chatting to my patient's partner or husband, and actually when I gave them a bit of time and started asking them questions, I couldn't get them off the phone. I'd be on the phone for an hour. And they all told me much the same thing, which is like, there's no support, there's no testing, there's no extra information. We're just expected to give a sperm sample and, just get the credit card out. And, and that was that. And I was like, okay, we need to do something about this. So I became quite vocal about it. Did some stuff with Fertility Network UK. And in the background, Toby, who's one of the other founders and directors of Test Him, Toby Trice, he was going through his fertility journey, and he turned to motorsport to kind of cope. He'd gone to go-karting to cope with the depression and the low mood that he was experiencing. That led him into actually being not a full-time racing driver, because he was a full-time train driver, but he became a racing driver in Ginetta's. And then he started a whole campaign about fertility based around, like, Racing for Fertility was the campaign. So he worked with the charity on that, and they introduced me and him. And so we set up the first UK sort of online support group back in April 2020, which was a huge success and still going to this day. We now have our own one through Test Him. And it was through that, again, we had the same thing. Men weren't getting any information. They weren't getting any testing. They didn't know, anything about their fertility. And so me and Toby were like, let's try and do something here after we've been running the group for a couple of years. And then Michael Close, who's the third part of Test Him, was introduced to Toby again via the charity as a sponsor for the motorsport. And his background, both Toby and Mike went through fertility treatment, and Michael wasn't successful, unfortunately. But he has got a background in the pharmaceutical industry. He's a biomedical scientist, and he's done a lot around rare metabolic diseases, but also a lot around fertility. And so he had a lot of diagnostics and technology around male fertility. And so me and Toby had a chat with him, and the three of us said, okay, well, let's see what we can do. And we came up with this idea of creating a free questionnaire. And this was 3 years ago. And, we created Test Him, and here we are. And it's been a hell of a ride since then. But yeah, that's how you get a train driver, a biomedical scientist, and acupuncturist together.
Yeah, it does sound like a joke, doesn't it? But I think that's
it really does.
How it's all formed together organically and kind of just through listening to what was kind of needed in the market or just in the community as well. So I think that's really important. And I guess maybe my first question would be, if I was someone listening to this, when should men get tested? Or are there warning signs? What kind of common issues that you maybe see or don't see? What kind of be the first thing that you would kind of start with recommending?
So I think, you know, the what we see and a lot of what we deal with is couples that are 2, 3, 4 years down the line. Maybe they've had, you know, a couple of miscarriages or a couple of failed rounds of IVF, and then they come to us saying, what else can we do? And we can absolutely support those couples, and that's not a problem. But what we don't see as much of is this kind of preconceptual care idea that actually a couple saying, okay, we're going to start trying for a family in 6 months' time. Why don't we start getting ready? So actually, I think, you know, we would always encourage men to think like that. It's like, okay, if we're going to try for a family in 6 months, what do I need to do to get myself fertility ready? And unfortunately, I think most men are led to believe that they're never the problem, or they don't ever have a problem with their sperm, and it's just like, you know, it's just a given that as a bloke it's going to be all right. Well, that's not the case. So I think in terms of screening or testing, I think, you know, we would like to see men doing all the lifestyle and diet stuff early on. You know, all the stuff, you know, you can read up on it. You know, you can listen to podcasts and what have you. So, you know, Mediterranean style diet, no processed foods, limit caffeine and alcohol, avoid hot tubs, all of these kind of key things. It's actually start doing that before you start trying. And then probably just try naturally for a while. And then, you know, if you wanted to do an initial assessment, then semen analysis is a good starting point. It's a good initial assessment to check that you're producing sperm and that it's actually getting out. And if that's okay, then that's all right for now, but there is still more that can be done. If it's not okay, then actually, if you've done that early, you can then get on the path to other tests and investigations a lot sooner, rather than these couples that we're working with, you know, at the moment that are 4 years down the line and are running out of time. So I think, yeah, always start with semen analysis. That might be via your GP. It could be privately. If it's not great, make sure you've done all your lifestyle and diet stuff. If it is good, don't assume that that means you're okay, because actually we know with men that have got a normal semen analysis, about 20, 25% of them will still have other problems such as DNA fragmentation, which will impact their chance of conceiving. So that's where we would start. And then if things aren't going to plan, don't delay further testing and don't see IVF and ICSI as a solution. Actually, make sure you're then looking at things like infection or varicocele, oxidative stress, DNA fragmentation, and then, you know, make a plan with that. But don't leave it too late.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
I think that's really important. And are there even any warning signs for this? If something's perhaps not right, is that something that you see a lot, or is it normally the case where there's not any?
It can be a mixture, you know. Like I said, we've spoken to men, and Toby is a case in point, actually. His semen analysis was actually very, very good. Apart from his morphology, that was slightly off, but that tends to be the, so this is the shape of the sperm, that tends to be the one of least concern. But he was told his sperm was great and it was absolutely fine. It was only when we did the advanced testing that we found out he had really high DNA fragmentation. We found out he had a varicocele, and that was actually their problem. When he got that treated, they conceived naturally. They didn't need IVF at all. So, there can be no warning signs, but there can be plenty of warning signs as well. So, does a guy have a dull ache in his testicles? Does he have a, does it feel like he's got a bag of worms in there? Of a varicocele, is his ejaculate normal? So is it the right color? Is it a white gray, or is there a yellow hint to it, which could be a sign of infection? Is there any sort of pinkness, which could be a sign of blood? Is he having trouble getting and maintaining an erection? This can be a sign of hormonal problems and testosterone problems. Is he actually ejaculating fully? So what sort of volume is he producing? So there are all of these other little signs. And actually, what we did was, and our first offering when we created Test Him was a free questionnaire for guys. And what this does is it looks at some of these red flags and some of these, sort of, sometimes some of the symptoms that a guy might have, but it also looks at some of the lifestyle and diet and work sort of factors. So it works as a risk profile. So we know where there's a man that's maybe had undescended testicles as a child, or if he's had mumps. That's a bit of a red flag, and actually that then justifies or warrants further investigation. So there are definitely things that can be going on in lifestyle, diet, environment, physical or emotional things, and also things in a history that will say, yeah, we need to think about looking at something else. I had a consultation with a guy recently, and he had a history of chlamydia, and we know that can cause scarring of the of some of the tubes. Some of the pipe work around the testicles, so actually that can be a problem. But if that's not declared, and if guys don't know some of these things are a problem, they won't know to go and get checked.
Yeah, completely. I think that's why the questionnaire that you guys do is so good because it can pull up those red flags that I think some people don't even know are red flags when it comes to fertility. So I think that's definitely something that is worth doing just to see if you're have a high risk from those different issues. And you've mentioned a few of them like DNA fragmentation, oxidative stress, and could you maybe give a brief overview of maybe some of the common issues that come up, just in case it's something that people haven't heard of at all? I mean, yeah, I'm sure loads of people haven't heard of it.
Okay, so in terms of common issues, actually varicocele is probably one of the biggies. Now, this is an enlarged vein within the scrotum where the blood is either not getting pushed out properly or it's backflowing down into the vein. So the vein gets a bit stretched, the blood builds up and pools in that vein. And the problem is that that blood's quite hot. And so it acts almost like a radiator for the testicles, or almost like an electric blanket, keeping it warm. And the problem is that the testicles need to be cooler than the body. They need to be about 2 degrees cooler for optimal sperm production. So when you get this heating effect of the varicocele, from the varicocele, that denatures the protein that is DNA. So that causes DNA fragmentation. So it's quite common where we see varicocele, we'll see DNA fragmentation. And we know that men that are struggling to conceive, it can be as high as 40% of those men will have a varicocele. And what's really interesting when it comes to secondary infertility, so where a couple are struggling with their second child, that can be as high as 80% or 85%. So it's a hugely common issue. And actually, something like one in, well, I think it's one in five men. So it's about 15, 20% of the male population will have a varicocele. So whether they're trying to conceive or not. So that's a hugely common issue. A simple testicular ultrasound scan will pick one of those up and help you decide whether you need to take further action. Then, the other common issues are things like oxidative stress and DNA fragmentation. So DNA fragmentation, varicocele is one of the causes. Oxidative stress is one of the causes. Environmental pollution, environmental factors, maybe medication, genetic issues. But DNA fragmentation refers to what's going on in the head of the sperm. So the sperm are just glorified like packages of DNA on like with a tail. Their sole purpose as a cell is to get DNA from the man into the egg, within, you know, the fallopian tube or the uterus. Now, what a semen analysis tells you is how many sperm have you got, how well are they swimming, and what shape are they are, what they are. But it doesn't tell you anything about what's going on to that DNA in the head of the sperm. So a DNA fragmentation test looks at that DNA, or it tries to break that DNA, or it looks at how easy it is to break, and it creates a kind of an algorithm, or it creates a score as to how bad that is. So where a guy's got high DNA fragmentation, so a lot of the DNA is damaged, so this is where the strands in the DNA are getting broken, and so it's not matching up as it should do. Where that's going on, we know couples will struggle to conceive. If they conceive, there may be a high risk of miscarriage. Embryos won't develop very well if they're having IVF, and ICSI may not be the solution either. So DNA fragmentation is definitely linked to all of those elements. It's also actually a good predictor of live birth rate as well, which is documented but and researched, but this still isn't getting out there. So that's quite a common factor. But if there's DNA fragmentation going on, the important thing is to actually try and find out where it's coming from, because a lot of the causes of DNA fragmentation are treatable. There can be genetic issues, there can be issues going on within the testicles that mean the DNA is not getting packed properly, and there may not be a treatable reason for that, or that may not be as treatable as some of the others. So where there's DNA fragmentation, we need to look at some of the other factors like varicocele. Oxidative stress is to do with the balance between what are known as free radicals and antioxidants. These are different cells within the body. Free radical cells, I think, are missing an electron. And so what they do, so they're quite unstable, and they want to go around nicking electrons from other places to make themselves more stable. And that creates a bit of a cascade effect. And this means that oxidative stress can kind of build up. So we need antioxidants in our body, and these happen to have a spare electron. So they go around giving out their spare electron, and then everyone's happy and the system's in balance. So oxidative stress is about that balance between the free radicals and the antioxidants. And this is where the lifestyle and diet comes down to being absolutely critical. So smoking, drinking, recreational drugs, really, really bad for creating oxidative stress. Processed foods, you know, your meats, hams, sausages, things, you know, in terms of creating oxidative stress. And then your foods like your dark leafy greens, your vegetables, your oily fish, your berries, your fruits, these are all high in antioxidants. So this is why men are being told to eat, you know, antioxidant-rich foods and keep the high oxidative stress foods down. So it's about keeping that balance. But what we mustn't do is put too many antioxidants in, because that can create a bit more of a problem where we overload the system the wrong way. The other key thing is obviously infection as well. So men can be carrying an infection and be completely unaware of it. They'll have no idea, there'll be no symptoms. But an infection can be creating a level of oxidative stress, and that oxidative stress can go on to lead to DNA fragmentation. And then, of course, we got into the microbiome as well, is, you know, an emerging sort of technology, or an assessment, or an area of medicine where we're looking at how does that impact oxidative stress and DNA fragmentation as well. So you know, as you can see, there's a lot to it, way beyond a standard semen analysis.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UK Radio to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, completely. And I think that's such a really nice and simplified overview of it all as well. So I think that'll be really helpful for people listening, and also with kind of tips as well as to what people can do. It doesn't have to be something really complicated and fancy. Things like diet, as you kind of mentioned, makes such a big difference that it can really be, yeah, that can be quite empowering. And if I were listening to this and I now decided I want to go get my fertility assessed, where are the different avenues? Where kind of can men go to have their fertility assessed or speak to someone, or what are the different options available to them?
I mean, of course, just come to test him and we'll be able to direct them and support them fully. You know, as I said, right, you know, at the early doors, GP is a good starting point. You know, if you've had no fertility assessments, they can order a semen analysis for you. If the GP is skilled enough and had the training, they may do a physical examination, but that tends to be less likely. If you've got a testicular lump or bump and some discomfort, they may refer you for an ultrasound. So that, you know, there's all of those options there. You may even be able to get a hormone profile through your GP as well. But generally speaking, the only thing I would guarantee would be a semen analysis.
Yeah.
So then a lot of these other tests and elements guys have to go private for. That means finding a clinic that will offer these advanced male fertility assessments. Some IVF clinics will do them, but not many, and they might do one, but not all of them. So that's quite challenging. We then have some places that we will send guys. There are really only a handful of really good clinics that will do advanced male fertility assessments. We don't actually sell assessments direct to patients as testing, but we do have a DNA fragmentation service that works through certain clinics and clinicians. So we have partnerships and well, actually just good relationships with a lot of the top urologists in London, and some of the kind of key clinics. It is a case of, unfortunately for the men, doing a bit of legwork, doing a bit of research and finding out where they can go. But it's not as abundant and easy as some testing and some of the female testing. Men do have to look a bit further. But, you know, we are always happy to help. You know, you can have a half-hour consultation with me, or you can just email us or DM us on Instagram and say, you know, where can I go and get some tests, and we'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think that's, yeah, it's hard. And I think that's why I like what you guys are doing with regards to developing the discourse on it and having those conversations. I mean, even through your podcast, as you mentioned, and your Instagram, I think that's a really important aspect of it that's quite often overlooked. And I think it'd be great for you to maybe share what you guys have available, or what else, or in what ways men can support their mental health during fertility concerns. Cause I think that is an area that's often, yeah, brushed aside.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, Mike and Toby talk very openly about their mental health and how, especially for Toby, how fertility really impacted that. And yeah, in terms of what we've got to support men, so the podcasts are, you know, fantastic support for people. We've had so many fantastic experts come and join us in the studio. Tim Child, Jonathan Ramsey, Melanie Brown, Laura Carter-Penman, we had Shafi Wardak, another urologist in recently, Stephen Moser. So we've a font of incredible knowledge there as a resource. And I think men are probably quite good at listening to podcasts, you know, like, you know, driving to work or going for a run, stick a podcast in, and there's a lot of information there. We've got a stack of articles on our website as well. So actually, if you want to look up a particular thing, we may have an article on that, and we add to that pretty much monthly. But I think, you know, we have a testicular ultrasound service through Ultrasound Direct. We have consultations with myself. So there's lots of those sorts of resources. But the other big one is the testing support group. This is where me and Toby met, was running a support group. This is how really all of this started. And it's our passion as the three of us is just giving that support to guys, because where else can a guy go and talk about his fertility without the risk of somebody making a jibe or having a laugh or saying, don't worry, mate, send your wife around to my house, I'll get her pregnant. That's the sort of terrible comments that men receive. And like you say, it has a major emotional impact on a lot of men. Depression, suicidal thoughts, giving their partner permission to leave them because they can't give her the child that she wants. These are the things that men face. So actually, when men come and join our support group, which is monthly online via Zoom, it's just nice to be there with other men that get it. They may not all have the same story. In fact, they very much probably won't have the same story, but they're all going through a very similar experience. And I think when you see other men on that Zoom, you're like, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one, because fertility is so isolating. And perhaps I was gonna say maybe even more so for men, but it's isolating for both men and women. It's isolating for couples. They don't want to go out, they don't want to go to the baby shower, they don't want to go to the next door neighbor's 3-year-old's birthday party. So being able to meet with other people that understand it and get it, and you can vent and you can get some free advice and support, is invaluable, really. And we've had so much positive feedback about the podcast and the support group that it's really helped make a difference for people. And sometimes it's completely changed the direction of their fertility treatment because they've learned something new. We had two guys on the group earlier this year who, had never heard of oxidative stress and DNA fragmentation, but they were 2 and 3 years into their fertility journey. So, it's a great opportunity to learn.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, particularly with it being Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. And I think the support that you guys offer, I mean, fertility in general is kind of shrouded in this shame, and I think that's why it can be so isolating, particularly if you feel, yeah, all these kind of feelings. So I think that's really nice that you offer, and it was Bet Testing was kind of founded off that support group and educational side of things, because as you said, there's so much that is not known about it. I mean, do you have any other common misconceptions that perhaps you see come up again and again?
Well, I think the biggest misconception is that fertility is a female issue. It really isn't. It's just as likely to be a male issue as it is a female issue. But again, we don't see the same level of awareness, education, testing, and support for men. So I think that's the biggest misconception. And that is also then, men are never led to believe that they're the problem. So they don't think about their fertility at all. They assume it's all just going to be all right. And when it's not all right, they're kind of usually quite laid back and sort of saying, well, or some of them are, don't worry about it, it will just happen. Whereas they're not as proactive about their fertility. Women will be going out, looking at the blogs, listening to the podcast, reading, information, tracking their cycles, changing their diet, going for acupuncture. Oh, excuse me, going for acupuncture. Whereas the guy's just like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't, I think there's a real disconnect for men between how they live their life. So this is their work environment, their exercise, their diet, and their sperm health. And there's also then a disconnect between their fertility and their general health. We know that men that are subfertile are a much greater risk of other diseases and illnesses later in life. So I don't think men get this big picture and this understanding of how important their fertility is, both in terms of conceiving, but also as a marker of their general health.
Yeah,
So I
completely.
think we kind of really need to change these misconceptions and get men thinking more proactively about their fertility.
Yeah, completely. I mean, yeah, fertility is almost a lot of the time an indicator of your general health, and it's just one of the aspects where it's kind of reflected. So I think sharing that information that is just going to help them with their own health as well is just so important. And I think something that, yeah, as you said, it's so often just kind of brushed aside, it's not important or something to deal with later. But I think that taking that ownership over your health and really being proactive is something that can really empower you with your decisions, and I mean, yeah, in your life, I guess. And Kind of, yeah, we've kind of covered some of the different ways in which testing helps. I mean, in so many different ways, but I'd love to know if you're kind of planning anything for the future or where you kind of see testing going or anything else that you think we've missed out. Because I mean, yeah, I mean, you do so much already, but it's if you miss anything.
There are definitely some plans afoot for next year, 2025. That hopefully it's going to allow us to make access to testing more easy, for men. More easy? That's not the right word, is it?
Easier.
More ex well, yes, more accessible and easier for men.
Yeah.
Because really that is actually our mission. We want to create positive change in the world of male fertility, and we want to make access to fertility support testing a lot better for men. So that's really our long-term kind of vision. I think next year, with what we've got in motion at the moment, is going to really help that. We often get asked about things like home test solutions and what have you. That's very complicated with sperm. I don't know if that will ever occur, but we're always looking at new technologies, new ways of doing things, and making sure that really we can build that complete package for the man to make sure he's got hopefully all that he needs in one place. And we've done an awful lot in the last 3 years, and I'm sure we'll do a lot more in the next 3 years.
No, I think that's amazing. And I love how it's grown from this, yeah, support focus to trying to just encompass everything that's really missing in the male fertility space. And I think that's really inspiring. And I'll tag all of your guys' socials and links below so that people can see some of the stuff that you're doing. And I mean, I'm sure lots of people will find it really useful. And yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming and sharing so much information with us today.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us. Thanks for inviting us on. I mean, we kind of probably only scratched the surface,
Yeah,
but
completely.
there's plenty more that people can come and find us and find more. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Now that brings us to the end of the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed listening to Fertility Matters with me, Jessica Hobbs from Screen Me, and really looking forward to hearing from you guys next week.